Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Don't miss your chance to win $25,000 of Terry Bradshaw's money tonight playing Fox Bet Super 6. The Thursday Night Football jackpot has been hit 5 times this season, and you could be next. Scan the QR code now. Answer 6 questions about Cowboys Saints for your shot to win. Colin, one of the questions is who will win and by how many points? What do you think?
This has to be a blowout. Dallas 30-20. It has to be. Even on the road, they have to dominate this game. Saints have no deep threat, no Alvin Kamara, third quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if this game's not over at half. It has to be. There's just no doubt. They have to look good. It does. Sometimes aesthetics matters a little. Just to build confidence in the room, this team needs to get back on track.
They've been losing lately. They do need to get back on track. And if they are real contenders, this would be an opponent you want to feast on.
Every Bills win this year, every single one has been by 15 or more. Like, occasionally you got to flex. This is a flex game. Beat up Saints.
You're getting everybody back.
Yeah, and they're on their third quarterback. Greg Jennings, 10 years in the league, a multiple-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champ with the Packers, joins us. All right, so I don't even have an opinion on this. My staff wanted this to be a topic today, and I said I don't have an opinion on it because I don't really get it. So I'm gonna put this out, and you explain it. So Aaron's noisy. He's got a weekly appearance and on a YouTube channel, Pat McAfee, and he says stuff, and he likes to kind of control the narrative. I get it. I don't have any problem with that. And he's an interesting guy, so whenever he talks, he says something interesting. And so he dropped it the other day. It made the news that he was saying, I think some of the Packer coaches or a Packer coach is leaking stuff to the media about COVID toe. And I was like, I would have kept that to myself. I'm not sure I would have said that. What? How do I interpret that? What? Because Aaron doesn't casually say anything. That's not who he is. Everything's got a plan, right? We know that about Aaron. Why did he say that?
You know, this one, your guess is as good as mine. For me, I took it as someone really trying to deflect all the attention from what we experienced with the whole COVID vaccination immunization fiasco and put it somewhere else. And it kind of blew up because obviously the media, you got Aaron Rodgers, no one's going to feel sorry for an individual after that. They're going to just now highlight all the things that could really be red flags, like what is really going on. And so I think it kind of backfired. So now you have a quarterback who, again, he knows everything. And so he's just shooting at his coaches. I don't think it's a hard shot. I think it's him making light, but addressing the issue like, look, guys, you made this worse. But we all know that coaches are going to be asked about players and they have to communicate with the media, you know, injuries. At their discretion. Obviously, they wanted to share what Aaron's status was as far as his injury and update. And I think it was all to kind of take attention away from what had transpired, like I said, with the vaccination immunization fiasco.
So, you know, I was thinking about this. Somebody said something the other day. Michael Jordan acknowledges now that he had to kind of create villains. Because when you are so great, it's not about being great. It's about keeping yourself motivated. And Kobe's talked about this. You just create villains in your head. I was reading a business book a couple days ago, and they said when you start a company, create an adversary. Even if they don't exist, give your company a target. It's good to motivate your employees, right? Like, even if it's out of thin air and it doesn't really exist. And somebody said something the other day on our show that Aaron creates conflict. And because the game is so easy for him now, especially the last couple of years with LaFleur, it's just effortless. They're missing multiple starters. It doesn't matter. It's a crossword puzzle. He has all the answers. And I think to myself, when you were with him, did you sense that he liked that conflict? Or is it a new thing? Because when somebody suggested it, I thought, you know, it makes some sense that he sort of likes the game within the game to keep him on edge a little bit. You know, I mean, it's kind of a sleepy town. Was he like that when you knew him?
Absolutely. Thus all the talk about Aaron Rodgers being sensitive. And people get upset. And Aaron sometimes even gets bothered when the word sensitive is used when talking about him. But he uses it to his advantage. Like, it's not a bad thing when you use it to elevate your level of play and those around you. How it can be looked at as a bad thing when it seems and it appears that you're touched by every little thing that's said and you have to address it. But for Aaron, he always looks for something, always looks for something. And quite frankly, as a teammate during that time, you wanted him to look for something because you knew it was going to set him ablaze. You knew it was going to take him to another level to prove whoever that individual was. It could be someone who really does not matter, whose opinion is only seen by the number of people that I can count on one hand. But he is all about proving individuals wrong. And like you said, making sure there is something that I'm in pursuit of. And whether that's a win by way of getting motivated to play because this reporter or this beat writer said this, I'm going to prove them wrong. They elevated my mindset and my mentality to where it needed to be for me to prove who I am once again.
So earlier, Greg Cosell's been working at NFL Films for 42 years, and he said losing Robert Woods and replacing with OBJ is hard because Robert's physical. OBJ's not. Robert,
yes.
Robert is does a lot of things OBJ doesn't. And I mean, just your takeaway, you know, a lot of fans just think, you know, receiver, receiver, receiver. But, you know, Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs might as well play two different positions, right? Like, it's not the same. So when you watch Robert Woods and OBJ, and take me to your career, are there certain receivers? Hines Ward had just a physical presence, and it just there was no other Hines Ward around. Your takeaway on the OBJ-Robert Woods kind of connection and replacement?
Robert Woods in that offense is irreplaceable. And the reason why he's irreplaceable is because no one's going to do the dirty work the way that he does it. You see the Green Bay Packers, they have Alan Lazard. He's their dirty work guy. Davante Adams isn't going to even be asked to do those types of things. And even if he was, he's not going to do it at the level that Alan Lazard is willing to. That is Robert Woods. That is why Sean McVay absolutely adores Robert Woods, because he can ask him any week to do and play any role without catching a football, and he does it without saying anything emotionally or verbally, and he does it with a smile on his face, and he does it to perfection. You're not going to get that. I was not a receiver that you could ask to go and insert into the C gap and go block that safety or that linebacker. I would do it, but it wasn't going to look good. And I was going to let you know by my approach that, man, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I catch the ball. And that's the mindset of a lot of receivers, Odell Beckham being one of them, and so many others. This is not just an Odell Beckham thing, but being in that situation, he's being asked to kind of play the role and not solely that role, because you have to support a guy like Robert Woods and what he does with everyone. And it's unfair to ask OBJ to be that guy when you know he's never been that guy. But he's irreplaceable. Once he went down, I knew this team would be different. He has more of an impact, in my opinion, than any offensive player on that team, including Matthew Stafford.
All right, I'm going to ask you finally a college question. So I always hear this. Whenever a coach leaves, all I hear is, oh, what about the kids? And I'm like, they get paid now. They can transfer whenever they want. They got the facilities are like Ritz-Carlton's. Kids, I mean, I employ a couple of them, you know, with my podcast network, Kyle Hamilton, Bryce Young. They're just wonderful kids. They have cool lives. They love their coaches. And so when a coach leaves, I don't think they're restless. I think they still sleep. I think they all understand the relationship. But you tell me, are you, when you watch a Brian Kelly bolt or a Lincoln Riley bolt, does it bother you as a player, a former player?
It doesn't. It really doesn't. Because one of the things that I don't think anyone outside of those walls, meaning the walls of a coach or even a player, they don't understand your personal life. Like Lincoln Riley, when you talk to Lincoln Riley, when he explains why he made the decision, the part that he displays and discloses to us, it's, well, a lot of it had to do with his family and it being a better situation. It had absolutely and utterly nothing to do with the organization or the program of Oklahoma. It had nothing to do with those players. It was a better situation for the overall idea of what he saw for his family. And that's typically what it is when players or coaches make a decision. Money, yes, it has an impact. It will forever be the number one driving force. He was going to get paid a ton of money. I would walk off this show right now if somebody came and told me they're going to do it. Bye, Colin. I'll see you later. Like, that's just the way it is. Let's not act like none of us would make those decisions. Now we're going to weigh out our options. But no, I don't feel sorry for the players, because once you have signed that scholarship, yes, you want to play with that coach. Yes, you want that experience. But ultimately, you have an opportunity to take advantage of, regardless of who's coaching. You have a free education. You have an opportunity to display your talent. Do it. Despite who's coaching, you are still going to be viewed and seen by NFL scouts to take your game to the next level. It will not matter. So coaches can take the same approach.
Yeah. Good seeing you, buddy.
Likewise.
All right, Greg Jennings.
I would say go Trojans, but I mean, everybody knows that's what you're doing already.
Delicious. Good seeing you. No, it's funny about this. If I had a son that played football, I would tell him, you know, academics number one, football program two, coach three. Like, that seems obvious to me. The coach is about a third of it. You know, you don't need to go, if you're a great player, maybe academics is less. But the bottom line, if you're a great quarterback, it doesn't matter if you go to Stanford, Notre Dame, or USC, or Oklahoma, you're going to end up in the NFL. I mean, Andrew Luck went to Stanford. You know, that's better than any Alabama quarterback in terms of performance. And no Ohio State quarterback has ever been as good as Andrew Luck. And Ohio State's a better football program than Stanford. It's funny to listen to all these moralists. They're always like, what about the kids? What do you think they're made of, like saran wrap? Like, they're 23-year-old kids. They're 22-year-old kids. They didn't just choose the program for the coach.
And if they did, they can leave.
Anytime they want.
That's why the transfer portal exists.
It's great.
It's important. And things do change. Kids leave when the coach is still there because the coach has changed their mind about them or they're out on them. We see that all the time.
Players now leave constant. College basketball, it's an epidemic. You can't keep players. Everybody, you know, it's the bottom line. Just be honest about it. You lost a great coach and it bums you out. And Oklahoma's still looking for a coach. Notre Dame is over Brian Kelly now. Why? Because they have a new coach.
Right.
Notre Dame's over it.
Well, it's just, look, the idea of loyalty is something that everyone wants to be like, I'm loyal. I'm a loyal person. Well, what are you loyal to? Because you can't be loyal to everything and everybody. That makes you the opposite of loyal, actually, because different people are going to want different things from you.
Yeah.
So if you're loyal to your family, number one, as Greg just mentioned, I think I'm okay with that. I think I'm okay with you prioritizing what your wife and children
and
what they would like over everyone else's opinion and what everyone else wants and whatever else you've promised to other people.
You can make an argument. You should be, if you're a 22-year-old college football player, you should be loyal to yourself. And if you yourself thinks I'd be better with Lincoln Riley at USC than Oklahoma, then make the move.
I think you should always be loyal to yourself.
Yes, I don't think that's.
But I'm saying, like, if you have a family, the family is yourself. Like, you are a family.
If you're a young person that does not married or kids. Be loyal to your core, and if you're an offensive player and Oklahoma hires a defensive coach, you're probably better served with Lincoln Riley because that's what he is. He's the Sean McVay of, you know, he's one of these.
Well, it's also very nuanced situation. Like, kids pick schools for different reasons. Like, if you are a position player, maybe you don't want to go to a specific school, even though it's a great school, because you're not going to be utilized there. You'll be better showcased at another school with a different type of coach and a different type of system. Like, it's not all facilities. It's not all boosters. It's not all the city that the school is in. It's not all the coach. Everyone makes decisions for different reasons.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, this holiday season, give the gift you know they'll love, a gift card from Jersey Mike's. Send everybody on your list one couple clicks, a few buttons. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Speaking of college football, The College Football Playoff Board of Managers is working on a plan to expand the playoff. They met again on Wednesday to discuss the potential change, but they were unable to agree on a format. This was the group's sixth in-person meeting since the College Football Playoff announced that they were considering a 12-team proposal back in June. So they'll meet again in January to continue these talks. If the playoff is going to expand in time for the 2024 season, playoff executive director Bill Hancock said it needs to be, the decision needs to be made by January. So they would have to be unanimous in an agreement, the format under the current contract. So they all have to agree on it. So there's no like majority vote. And if it doesn't expand until 2026, the commissioners have a blank slate and a new contractual agreement to work with that wouldn't necessarily require it to be unanimous. So this is still a very flexible situation.
Yeah.
It is going to expand. If for no other reason than programs lost, purged money last year because of COVID. They lost millions and millions of dollars because of the pandemic last year. So it would help to subsidize those losses to expand the College Football Playoff. I'm also in favor of the College Football Playoff expanding because we're seeing this year, finally, there is some parity in the college football current format. But it would eliminate these ongoing conversations of, does Cincinnati deserve to be in? Does Oklahoma State deserve to be in? Deserve. All right, well, now it's big enough that it will eliminate those arguments about who deserves to be in, and we will find out who the true champion is, because the top teams will be in. And of course, there's always going to be someone that's unhappy, but you can't expand it to, you know, you can't have March Madness in college football. That's not right. How it works. But I do think expanding it will help the sport, and I'm in favor of it, but they're still working on how they're going to structure that. So the Chargers are sitting in the final AFC wild card spots, 6-5 record right now.
AFC is wide open, like wide open.
That is what Derwin James said this week. The AFC is, quote, wide open, and Brandon Staley is saying that he hopes the team is building up to be their best at the end. They're one of 13 teams in the AFC that has at least 5 wins. We're looking at the playoff picture right now, but the division leaders are Ravens, Patriots, Titans, Chiefs. Wild card right now is Bengals, Bills, Chargers, and the Broncos, Raiders, Colts, Browns, Steelers, and Dolphins are all still alive. Although I do feel like the bottom end of the AFC, I mean, look, who knows with the Dolphins week to week? I mean, they very well could win this week and continue climbing.
Yeah,
but
they will win this week.
I do think that the bottom part of the AFC or the middle part of the AFC is very flexible. Like, there's no way to know if these are the teams that are going to be in the wild card. The division leaders feel set. They feel like that's not going to move.
Yeah.
But the wild card's going to be really interesting this year. The Chargers' remaining schedule at the Bengals, which is a tough game.
Yeah, because Bengals run the ball and Chargers are not good against the run.
Yes, the Bengals are favored by 3, according to FoxBet. Then they have the Giants, the Chiefs, at the Texans, Broncos, and at the Raiders. So they have 3 more divisional games remaining, 2 in the last 2 weeks of the season.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
The ending of
this
season is going to be tremendous because of all of the divisional games. Okay, well, we're not comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady-ish. But Mac Jones, as he's building his brand now, Colin. It's very important.
Brand building.
And Brady made his TB12 famous, obviously. And now Mac Jones has reportedly filed for MJ10.
That's interesting.
So he's going to use it on clothing items, hats, shirts, you know, merch. Would you wear some Mac and Cheese merch? Some McCorkle merch?
I don't like the nickname Mac and Cheese. It feels lumpy to me.
I love mac. I had mac and cheese last night.
I just too. I like.
No, I think that was Cam's nickname.
Oh, was it
for Mac? Yeah.
MJ10.
MJ is
interesting territory. What are you saying?
Pretty aggressive. it is his initials though.
Yeah, so. It is.
No, I like it. I mean,
do you know Mac is short for something? If you,
yeah, it's McCorkle.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
McCorkle.
His full name.
It's McCorkle.
Mac Jones.
I've never known anybody named McCorkle.
Michael McCorkle Jones.
Oh, that's a mouthful. And again, with my last name, I'm not going to. Michael McCorkle. It sounds like a law firm. Michael McCorkle and Jones.
Yeah, you got to put the and in there, yeah.
Michael McCorkle. That's interesting.
We fight for you.
That's right. Citizens. It's an interesting
Mac
name.
Mac feels good, though. Mac is an acceptable, conglomerate.
By the way,
of that name.
His parents are probably seeing this show and they're like, "Man, why don't you say anything nice about our kid?"
Mac Jones is crushing it.
Yeah, and we're happy.
He is playing great.
The worst thing in the NFL is watching the Lions or the Steelers offense.
Yes,
we want all these young guys to be superstars.
He's been incredible. We were both wrong about it. Okay.
No. I mean, we thought he would be the most.
Actually, I don't know. I don't know that I was wrong. I didn't think he was going to be this good. I didn't think he was going to be a disaster, though.
Well, I mean, New England was not going to. It's Belichick. You're not going to be a disaster. The bottom line, we both said, he and Trey Lance got the best landings.
He is having a tremendous rookie year.
Unbelievable.
In a high-pressure situation. It is not easy to go into New England and take over, and it's a complicated offense. He's doing an amazing job.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Faherty is founded by twin brothers and their family. Great-looking clothes, totally comfortable, lifetime guarantee equality. Faherty is offering 20% off with the code HERD20. Go to FahertyBrand.com/HERD. FahertyBrand.com/HERD. All right, Super Bowl bubble. I always have about 8 teams every year in the Super Bowl bubble. I have a little bit less this year. So we're going to do, Joy, a little bubble here. Like, are they in my Super Bowl bubble? That means good enough to get to a Super Bowl. Are they in the Super Bowl bubble or are they out of my Super Bowl bubble?
All right, let's start with the Patriots.
The Patriots would be in my Super Bowl bubble. Number one scoring defense. People are scoring less than 16 points a game. Few penalties. They win time of possession. They're also 6-1 against the AFC. So they match up well against AFC teams because many of the best AFC teams have young quarterbacks. This defense, you know, Belichick versus young quarterbacks, he unravels them.
The Bills.
Yes, in. Every win has been by 15 points. They have the number. They've outgained their opponents by 1,000 yards this season. They're simply too dynamic and well-coached not to get in. Now, they do not run the football. Sometimes Josh Allen is their best running option. I don't love that, but he is still young and he can take the hits. He's like a Cam or a Big Ben. You know, he can run and be a difference maker, especially in the red zone. You can't be this dynamic, win each of your games by 15 points. They're just too dynamic not to be a Super Bowl contender.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes, in a little inconsistent. I think what they are, they're the only team in the NFL scoring over 30 a game. I think a lot of it comes down to Gronk and Leonard Fournette's health because I think Brady feels very comfortable when they have a run team. They're still not rushing the ball enough for my taste because I think their O-line is good. Maybe not great, but good. So as long as Leonard Fournette, Lenny's there in the playoffs, I think they're hard to beat. Because I think Tom doing a little play action is even more dangerous.
Playoff Lenny.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens.
I'm going to say out. They have too many disastrous offensive halves. They have literally terrible quarters and terrible halves. They've scored 17 or fewer points in 4 of their last 5 games. So they're, again, they can win some of these games, but they're also atrocious on the back end, meaning in the AFC, a lot of these teams now, Buffalo over the top throwing, Chargers over the top throwing, Kansas City over the top throwing, they are bad. So they may have leads and just relinquish it very quickly.
How about the Cincinnati Bengals?
They're going to be fun, but I don't out. I still think they feel like they're kind of rebuilding. I do love the physicality they're playing with now, but we have to be honest about this. Their schedule's brutal. Their schedule's brutal. They face the Chargers, Niners, Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, Browns. That's brutal. So to me, they got 2 or 3, and some of those are not great matchups either. And all of those teams are vying for the playoffs. You're getting no layups here. You need some layups in the last 6 weeks. Since he's got no layups.
How about the Titans?
in. They're going to get healthier after a week 13 bye. They're just falling apart. Also, they're going to get Derrick Henry back. That's going to be great. And again, this is just one of these. They've just fallen apart physically. And you're now asking more of Ryan Tannehill. And Ryan's good. But, you know, like Dak, he's absolutely better when he's got a strong running component. So the Titans are in.
The Colts?
Out. They don't beat the good teams. It breaks my heart because I love so much about them. Can't beat Tampa at home. Can't beat Tennessee at home. Their wins have come against the Dolphins, Texans, Jets, and Jags. Four of their six wins. So they beat up on the average teams. But they're just, they're too mistake prone to be a Super Bowl team.
The Cowboys?
Out. Again, when they lead the NFL in penalty yards, that is just a bad sign. They're sloppy. They're hit and miss on third down. Their defense is not taking the ball away. Like, one of the things I like about New England is they're just going to take it from you once or twice a game. Dallas has five takeaways in five games. You know, they get a fumble recovery occasionally, but they don't necessarily cause it. They're not as dynamic as I thought defensively. And they have to run the football to win, meaning Dak needs to be lifted more than he individually lifts.
The Rams.
Out. I don't think the OBJ Robert Woods replacement is ideal. They do not run the football. Listen, they're a team, the interior of their O-line's okay. Their tackles are good. But they now have lost their best run-blocking receiver. They've lost their best running back. And they're asking way more of Matt Stafford, and I think they've sort of lost their identity, so they're out.
The Packers.
In best team in football. To be able to win these games and compete at the highest level, missing multiple, your best corner, your best running back, your best linebacker, they're my favorite to win the Super Bowl today is Green Bay.
And Aaron Rodgers is hurt.
Yep.
The 49ers.
I think they'll come up short. I think it's close, but I love the way they're playing. I love their physicality, but they kind of have one way to beat you, as Greg Cosell told us an hour and a half ago. They got to run the football. They also play four of their final six games on the road. Debo Samuel's health, he is expected to miss multiple games, and he is so great and so valuable. So they're just up against it. I think they had too many losses to overcome. If their record now was 8-3, and they could, you know what I mean? But 6-5 without Debo Samuel, can't get in. I don't think they make the playoffs.
Cardinals.
In, excellent. They'll be fine. First of all, it's kind of amazing. They're 6-0 on the road this year, all of them by over 10 points. I've never seen that. I've never, ever seen that. So they're not only capable of winning, you can just send them on the road, and they can win by blowout. And I also think they can beat you multiple ways. Kyler can beat you with his feet. They can beat you with DeAndre Hopkins over the top. They can pound the football and run. They get after your quarterback. They've got a lot of playmakers, 6-7 playmakers. You know, you cross your fingers on Kyler Murray's health, but after Green Bay, I feel really good about Arizona having a chance to represent somebody in the Super Bowl.
The Chiefs.
They're in. Actually, I think their defense now is better than I thought, and their offense still isn't clicking. They're on a four-game winning streak. You know, it's just possible with the new offensive line this year, they're not going to be as good offensively. We keep waiting for them to take the next step. No Sammy Watkins, rebuilt O-line, banged up at running back. They're just probably not going to be as dynamic. But their defense, Chris Jones is like Aaron Donald. You got to put two guys on him. Also, I will say this about their offensive line. Their center, Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, has been outstanding. So they have really anchored their offensive line. That kid's going to be a 10-time Pro Bowler. He is out of this world good. He and Rashawn Slater for the Chargers, he is tremendous. So they do. The offensive line's coming together right in the middle. But they're in, absolutely. So my updated Super Bowl bubble. Titans, Patriots, Cardinals, Packers, Bucks, Bills, Chiefs. That's it. It's usually eight. This year it's seven.
It's amazing. Patriots are back there already.
Yeah, isn't it? It's supposed to. The Monday night game, Bills and the Patriots, 80% chance of snow.
Ooh.
So that would benefit
football weather.
That would benefit New England because they don't have a vertical component. You're not taking, if it's windy and snowy, that Stephon Diggs is limited. That's the thing about New England. You can say all you want. They're built for January. Like Kansas City and Buffalo, They like the big play. New England just does their nine-play drive stuff, controls the clock. I'm again, between Lincoln Riley at USC and Belichick in the Super Bowl potentially, it's going to be obnoxious.
It's wild that it is a real possibility that we see Bill Belichick and Brady. Mac Jones against Brady and Arians in the Super Bowl.
And the Super Bowl's in L.A.
Los Angeles.
Real credit card questions require real people, somebody who understands your issues and can resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based reps. Available 24/7. Discover card. Exceptionally common sense. All right, Cowboys Saints tonight. I'll take the Cowboys 30-20. Speak for yourself around the corner on a Thursday. It's the Herd.